You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Sarda. Organized team activities continued on Thursday. We heard from Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy, as well as defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. After that, we'll go to Chiefs special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. Then we'll take a quick timeout, and when we get back, we'll catch up with a couple of the new Chiefs assistants and wide receiver coach Connor Embry and running backs coach Todd Pinkston. Here's offensive coordinator Matt Nagy.
Good. Good to see y'all.
How's it going to be back at the mental at OC?
Yeah, it feels good, you know, just to get back, really just in football in general, just from the season last year was such a joy. It was a lot of fun. Like I said before, familiar faces for me, but now we're back at it, you know, short off season, which will trade off any year, and we get back to it.
Matt, what do you guys lose in Juju moving on, and how do you replace and fill that void?
Yeah, Juju did such a great job last year coming in, learning the system. You know, in general, those new guys last year, just working through the timing element of the routes. And I think he did such a great job that you could see it click with Pat, you know, really towards the end of training camp and then taking it into the season. He had a great feel, just kind of understanding the offense. So he's also, you know, he has some good experience. So we understand that and we wish him the best. But at the same point in time, we love our wide receiver room right now. The guys are competing, and it's at a point right now that is always fun when there's new guys that come in from other places or rookies, for them to learn who Pat is and the other quarterbacks and work through that cohesion that they have. But Juju, great player, and you know, but we got a lot of great guys here. We like to.
There's been a lot of stuff about Kadarius potentially being this top mm-hmm. receiver for you guys. What makes him that internally for you?
Well, I think we all see what he can do when the football's in his hands. And, again, same type of deal. He comes over halfway through the season. It's a whole new offense. He's got to learn the ins and outs. And so you have that point. And he was able to do that. And it's exciting now for us to be able to take that to year two and build that relationship with Pat. But he's super talented with the football in his hands. And he's been that way his entire life in his football career.
Pat during the offseason this year, specific things as far as instead of general improvement with him?
Sure. Yeah, I would say that for us, you know, he does so many things really well. So you want to try to find the things that he can either improve at or even if it's – you can always go back to footwork and timing with any quarterback. And but at the same point in time, too, I think the other thing would be working with his progressions, getting to number 3 and 4 is always another thing that instead of maybe trying to force a throw here or there, which I thought he did a good job last year of making smart decisions, work into that 3rd, 4th, and sometimes that 5th progression in the play. So really in training camp, we'll really be able to focus on that with the pads.
I just wanted to ask you about the makeup of the wide receiver. Obviously, you guys don't have maybe a clear-cut number one, but traditionally, it seems like some depth there. How does that just affect the dynamics of the offense when that is the makeup?
Yeah, it's competition. And I think any type of competition that you have always – brings the best out of everybody. And the one thing that you see with you know, Coach Reed, Brett Veach, Patrick, and what they've done over all this time together is no matter who it is, whoever the team is, whoever the experience is, they do a great job of making it work for a lot of different reasons because of who they are. And when you have a bunch of guys that come in that are competing for different spots and it's fun because you feel the energy every single practice. There's no one taking a day off. They're out there. And now it's just a matter of working through what we worked through last year with Juju and Quez, that timing during this OTAs, figuring that out with newer guys that have come in here. And And that's to, as a coach, when you start putting in plays to try to get guys and see what they can do in certain routes, that's what it's about, that process.
Matt, there's a, Andy always says he really enjoys doing the scheme evaluation after the season. Being in your previous role doing the scheme evaluation and then obviously being promoted to OC, how did that best serve you as to how you want to make an imprint on the offense now?
Sure. Well, again, everybody here knows, you know, I was fortunate enough to come in here in 2013 with Coach and kind of be there to be a part of the process of implementing the system that we run. And that's evolved immensely in that time till now. But then you have the scheme eval. Every year is different. And we're really hard on ourselves to be in the top three every year in almost all categories. We want to do that. So, but there's some areas of improvement that we have that we know we can get better at without telling the whole world. We know what they are, and internally we're working on that, and that's the challenging part that keeps you going as a coach and as a player, wanting to be great in those but not lose where you are really good situationally. So that's for me just a part of the process.
Will we be able to see your fingerprints on this, or I mean just the average fan going to be able to tell the difference in the offense?
Beauty of what Coach Reed does. This all starts and ends with him. And in the end, you know, what I think one of Coach's greatest strengths is delegation. He's really good at that because he trusts his staff in all phases, offense, defense, special teams. But at the same point in time, he also, one of his greatest strengths is being able to adapt and change every year. So I just want to be able to help in that area. But there'll be some differences, and I think that's what keeps it exciting and new and fresh for everybody.
Last two, we'll go Matt.
Okay.
And, Coach, like you mentioned, you got a young, fluid receiver group. Mm-hmm. And you've also let Connor step into a leadership role for that group.
Sure.
What do you see in him that tells you that, you know, he's the right guy and the right coach for that group right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Connor, I think, has internally, when we're in the building, we get to see every day how these coaches are in front of their players. And another thing that Coach does is he does a great job in the offseason that, again, no one sees, but he gives a lot of responsibilities to the young coaches, quality control coaches, assistant coaches by position. Connor's done that. And I think what better way to interview for that type of position than doing it every day in your role that you're in, which was the last previous couple years. So Connor has great strengths. He's going to grow like all of us every year. He'll get better. But it's also the player's job, too, to know that and to help out and to help each other out. So that's the fun part.
Coach, Clyde obviously is coming in this year. He's not going to get the fifth-year option. He's had some highs and lows on the field that hurt here and there. What have you seen from him this offseason getting ready for this year, and what do you expect out of him as
he moves towards? Just a great attitude. I've always, you know, respected him from afar. When I was in Chicago, just kind of noticed him as a player. And then when he came here to Kansas City and got drafted and the process of where he was, and for me to meet him last year and see who he is, he's done a great job of just really focusing on right now and everything he can in practice, in the meeting rooms, and just being a leader, you know, for him to be able to understand our role with him, his role with us, and it's a very important position, and his attitude has been phenomenal.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Been a while, huh? Good to see everybody. Don't want to forget this, Sid. All right, just great to be back out there. It was nice and humid today. A little different than yesterday. Yesterday was nice and cool. Today we got a little heat. We got a lot of work done. We've had a bunch of work done since we've last visited with you guys and gals, and happy to be back here doing it. So with that, I'll just open it up.
You've got obviously a couple new faces from the defensive side just through the draft and everything.
Yep.
Can you kind of give us a little bit of an overview? And
rundown on all the guys? They're all young. They don't know anything right now. So obviously you asked about Felix. We haven't seen a lot on him because he's been dinged up a little bit, so it's hard to tell. We've had Chamari out there. He's slowly progressing. He made a really good play today. Nick Jones, right? Nick's playing some nickel for us. Fittingly, he's done some good things coming from a smaller school, Ball State, right? BJ is one. I know I'm going to miss one, but BJ Thompson. But BJ's been really impressive. He's done some good things. He's a young, raw guy. We knew that going in. He stuck out today, made a play. And who's my fifth?
DeAndre.
KC. I call him KC. Great job. you know, but just an energetic, passionate guy. You know, reminds me a lot of Colin Saunders, really. Same body type, and hopefully he can be the same kind of player. So that's a little bit of a wrap-up on those five draft picks. And then we got some other younger guys out there running around. Listen, you guys have asked this before and been through it. There's a huge amount of volume thrown at him right now. Justin Reed went through it last year. The vets that come in go through it, and it takes a little while. We don't take that to the game. And all these young guys are kind of spinning and floating, but a little bit of smoothing out now. We went through, you know, phase one, just meetings. Phase two, we were doing walkthroughs. Then we get them out there going against our offense, and, you know, they're spinning. But we got through practice six today, so hopefully it's starting to smooth out a little bit.
Question on two players. How does Amenihu and then Tranquil fit in the mix for you, you think, this year?
FAU, Amenihu? Oh, Charles. Now, you know what I get messed up on? The Felix last name, the Charles. I'm with you. Okay, Charles and Drew. Look, they're doing a great job. They're terrific. Both those guys are pros, real intelligent football players, really happy with what they've done to this point and where they're at. I'm glad we got them. I just think both of those guys elevate their positions, and I think that gives us a lot. We'll see how we work them all in. It's going to take a little while for that, but right now, from what I've seen, Drew's made a lot of plays. For a lineman in these pack practices, you know, we can't finish. You know, you got to stay away from the quarterback, and they pull up, so it's a little bit tougher to tell there. But love the way both those guys operate.
When you throw all this stuff at them, you have the rookies all together at the beginning, so when they get around the veterans, it changes for them. Have you seen, generally speaking, what you'd like to see from that transition from inundating them with stuff? Kind of going along the learning process?
Yeah, each guy is different, right? So they came in the rookie mini camp, and now we stayed very basic there because they were going against the offense. And where it started to pile up for them was they were home a week, I think. They went home a week, then they came back, and they were 1 week of phase two. And we were, like, we didn't slow down the veterans group. We didn't go back and slow down for them. They just had to pick right up. So they've been playing catch up from the beginning. And each guy is different. You know, some of the guys stand out and they're really sharp. Other guys, it takes a little while. But I do think for the most part, it smooths out. You know what? When it typically smooths out is when they make that first really good play, right? And they get a little bit of confidence. Like I saw Chamari make that today. I'm hoping that translates to him get a little bit more confidence. These guys, more than anything, when they come in here, gaining confidence is huge.
When it comes to edge rushers, you guys, since you've been here, brought in a number of guys late in the game, whether it's Terrell Suggs or Melvin Ingram or last year, Carlos Dunlap. I know that's Brett's deal, but if this is your group, if this is who you go in the season with, you feel pretty good about that bunch?
Yeah, right now. Now, listen, I still got to see. We know what George has been here, right? Mike Dana. We don't know Charles. I mean, we know what he didn't say. We don't know Felix, right? Way too early on that. Now, Malik Herring and Josh Kando, I really, really am hopeful for those two guys to surface. They've been here for a while. They know what we're doing. But, you know, it's up to them to take that next step. And both of those guys, I think, have done a really good job to this point. Those are the six I think we're talking about, right? But you're right. We thank God for Brett in the last few years. We've been able to – Carlos, I think we got early, right, in some training camp or something. And I'm sure we would try to do that again either way. Maybe I guess the hope is that we don't have to, right? That'd be a good problem to have.
Coach, when you look at your second-year DBs like Brian, Jalen, and Joshua, how much more comfortable do they look now than they did this time a year ago?
You can just ask them. And did Trent included, right? The five of them, NJ, is out there doing a great job. Now, I sat with them and was somewhere with them a week ago, and they're like light years ahead. And they feel it, and it's different, and they're confident. The first day we went out there for a walkthrough, the communication and the talk. Now, I'm including Justin Reed in that because last year was all new for him, too. Even though he was a vet, the system was new. And those guys just, from a verbal and being kind of tied into that standpoint, they were just gelling.
Coach, it looks like you have Nick Jones and Boodle working the inside right now. Yeah. When it comes to top guys, I know they're not working, but do you anticipate McDuffie being that guy for this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we would never give up on always having Trent and LJ ready to play in there. I don't think that'll change. Love for another guy to surface, you know, so that when we want to keep LJ and Trent outside, somebody can go in there. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. If that doesn't happen, then one of those two will be in there, and a little bit will be depending on who we're playing, what the matchups are. But both those guys can play in there, and we're trying to find another one.
Coach, you saw how Justin Reed worked with Mark Thornhill last year. Just from your perspective, how's he been with Brian Cook this time around?
Yeah, terrific. You know, Brian's one of those guys that he's a bold, vocal guy. You know, even last year, I know he was kind of the third safety and kind of rolled in there on dime. But as a young guy a year ago, I was impressed with how bold he was. Some of these guys come in, and some of these young guys are going through it right now, and they're in a position where they got to communicate, and they don't want to make a mistake, right? So they whisper it, you know, they don't hear him. But the guys that will blurt it out loud and proud, whether they're wrong or whether they're right, I like those guys. Book was like that last year, and he's kind of just carried that into this year. Those guys are working pretty good together.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Everybody. Appreciate it. Good seeing y'all.
What are your thoughts so far?
I don't like it. You know, I think Andy kind of said it all, you know, with what he said. I totally agree with him, but it's not something we're happy about. You know, I was on the committee that went up there and looked at the, you know, the concussion tape and everything, and we advised them that it wouldn't be something that would probably make the play safer, we didn't think. But, you know, as it's well documented now, but they passed it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, reasons why, you know, I mean, because of the numbers were up and you have to do something, you know, and I understand that. You know, it's the rule now and we're going to deal with it and we'll coach it up and try to turn it into an advantage for us.
You know? Mentioned just having to do something. Did you anticipate or did you offer maybe other potential
alternatives when you went up there? You know, some things that we said was that we would help, you know, as a united group, try to coach it out of the game, coach the head out of the game. You know, that's one of the things that we brought up. We didn't have a solution like a play or a new rule change that would make the play safer right now. But what we have to do is, as coaches across the board, offense, defense, and special teams, is teach players to keep their head out of the tackling, because it was the kickoff team guys. Most of the injuries, most of the concussions happened on the kickoff team. Guys coming off a block and then throwing their head in front of a returner, and they were getting concussions. So we have to do a better job coaching the head out of the game. If we do that, we'll get the numbers down to a reasonable number.
Do you have any estimation just among coaches you've chatted with, if a lot of you guys went, just how significantly this will decrease just the number of
players? We don't know. We don't know. I mean, right now, we thought there might be more. You know, there might be more returns. There might. You know, just because you make a fair catch, the play's not over. I mean, you're because it's a free ball. If you drop the ball, it's a free ball. So the guys are going to be covered until that ball is caught. So that's not going to change. So it's still going to be a physical play. You know.
Other than you losing a potentially exciting play, what are your issues with the new rule? Like, what specifically?
I just think there's a lot of strategy involved. You know, if you're a team that's trying to get back into the game, like you're behind and you're on kickoff and you're trying to create a turnover, try to pin a team, make them go the long distance, you know, one of the strategies was to kick it high and try to tackle them inside the 10, maybe, you know, force them to return it, maybe force a turnover. They have to cause a penalty, maybe a fumble, you know, whatever, you know, and get the ball back, you know, I mean, really for your offense. I mean, that was a huge strategy that's now, you know, if you're a good kickoff team that's going to loop the ball down, or they could just fair catch it and, you know, and then get the ball to 25 every time and kind of take that away. So it was a big, you know, strategic thing that was taken away from us as special teams coaches.
You've always been an aggressive guy in terms of running kicks back.
Yes.
I know you're not going to give us anything specific, but are there general, in general, do you see you guys using much when you're the return team?
We'll use it in certain circumstances, like, you know, if we're up in a game, for instance, and, you know, and we don't want to take a shot on goal because they kick the ball to us, and it might be better for the team just to fair catch it and take it at the 25, we'll do it, you know, but it's not something that we're going to do a lot, I'm going to tell you that. You know, if they kick the ball to us, we'll return it. You guys know that. We want everybody on the same page. We're going to be aggressive. You can't have it both ways. Your kickoff return team, when they turn and run, they have to think that you're coming out with it every time. If they're back there looking to see if he's fair catching or not, the guy's running by him, and you have nothing. So you have to be all on the same page. It has to be one or the other.
Coach,
The XFL's got the interesting rule where they've got the guys off the line of scrimmage just moved all the way down and they kick off. Did you guys consider that?
Yeah, we did. We looked at that. We looked at tape, you know, on the up in NFL Films in Jersey. We watched it. It's something that we could possibly go to someday. I mean, that could be the next step. Who knows? But it is something that I like it because there's more returns. There's returns, and they put the ball back at the 30. You're kicking off from the 30, and I love it because there's more returns.
It seems that Kadarius and Pacheco might have expanded roles this year, especially after last year. Do you anticipate having new returners?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I do anticipate that. You know, some guys that are doing really well right now, you probably want to know. Prince is looking good as a running back. He reminds me so much of, you guys remember Nile Davis. He reminds me of Nile. He even has the same number. Didn't do it in college, but, you know, he's showing traits right now that so much he reminds me so much of Nile that it's kind of scary. You know, and Nile was pretty good for us. And, you know, as he went on, obviously the touchdowns and, you know, so I see him in that role.
Richie James
is a guy that, you know, he's got experience, did it in NFL games, which is, that's huge, as we know. And, you know, he's definitely in the mix. Ross, the other one, you know, at number 85, he's another guy that got great speed, you know, had injury problems at Cincinnati, but, you know, if he could stay healthy, he's definitely in the mix. He's probably one of our fastest players back there, you know. And then you still got Sky and you got Amir. We have a bunch of guys that are possible guys that can do that for us.
A couple more.
I know you're not running things like live and tackling people. And last year you lost some of your key special teams guys, and you had to work these new guys into it. You're going to have probably more of a group for a second year.
Yeah, everything goes in cycles. Like last year we had the cycle of young players, you know, and they did a great job, and they got better and better as the year went on. And then obviously in the playoffs we were reaching our peak. It took a while there, but we were playing good football then when we needed to. They're all back. All those guys are back, so they're going to be that much better. Now we got a new group of young players coming in. So as a group, I predict it will be better, you know, right from the start.
Anybody that you can tell that's gonna help you early?
Of the new young players?
Yeah, I know it's hard right now.
It's really hard. I'm excited about the linebacker. I talked about Prince. I'm excited about the young linebackers, Moore and Jones, the two free agent kids that we have. I like the kids that we drafted, Connor and Jones. Yeah, both of those guys are going to help us right off the bat. You know, and then the D lineman, the defensive end, possibly, you know, some role play, but not so much as a four-phase guy. But I'm excited about the young players, but really it's those last year's young players that are getting better that we're going to, you know, guys like Cochran and Nazi. You know, he towards the end of the year, Nazi Johnson, as a gunner, he was playing better than anybody in the league. So I'm excited about him. He'll probably be your number one gunner coming in the next year.
Last two, Nielsen. Go ahead.
Coach, you had some huge plays both in the AFC Championship game on returns that set up what ended up being game-winning field goal, which was another big play. The Super Bowl, a huge return, and of course you win it on the field goal.
Yep.
Can you talk about how sweet it is to play big, good in the biggest game?
It was really sweet because of the way the year went. You know, the way that we had a tough year, you know, throughout the year with, you know, with the muffs and young players making dumb mistakes and me coming out in front of the media every week saying, trying to tell you we're going to get better. And then a little bit of redemption, obviously, in the championship game with Sky. I mean, I felt so good for him that he was able to have two big returns for us and help us win that game. And then the punt return, obviously, in the Super Bowl with Kadarius was huge. And it was a big It was good for the whole group, whole room. So elated about that. And then Bucker being able to kick the game winner with his ankle, starting off at the first game with a sprained ankle, and all year long he was dealing with that. Being able to put it all together when we needed it most meant a lot.
Last thing.
Dave, this is probably what you just said might be your answer to this, but I just wondered if I could tap into what leads you to think that aggression is the way to go with returns and things like that, especially obviously.
Why is it?
Yeah, I just wondered what prompts you to...
How are you going to score a touchdown if you don't return it? You know, I mean, if you just take a fair catch, and if they're kicking the ball to you and everybody gets their blocks and you have the ball kicked to you in a situation, return it, you know, pack it up and you go. you know, like I said, there will be times when we'll have it'll be a special play when we fair catch it.
We block it in front of him and he'll be able to catch it and we'll take the ball at 25 when we need it. But we're going to stay aggressive.
Thanks, everybody. Right.
Thanks, everybody.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, Blue Valley West. So, yeah, I've been I'm a coach's son, so I've been moving around my whole life pretty much. I moved out here. My dad, when was that? He got in with Herm when Herm was here. So moved out here freshman year of high school and went to Blue Valley West, then went down to KU, walked on there, played under Coach Gill for a year, and then Charlie Weiss the next three, and then stayed with Coach Beatty. GA'd there for 2 years and then hopped around some high school, went up to San Fran with my dad, did a Bill Walsh internship out there, and then Eric Bieniemy helped me get out here. So I've been here since 2019, so it's been good.
It seems like you're a young guy, right? But you go through that resume, it's a lot of work to get here. What have the past couple of years like been here when you're just way behind the scenes doing things, and now I guess the accomplishment of being a position coach for this particular franchise?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I'm young, but I've been around it my whole life. Like I said, my dad's been in this business. My brother's a coach for the Jets. My uncle's a high school coach out in Santa Margarita, California. But yeah, it's just always been in my blood. I grew up wanting to be a coach. So it takes Coach Reed puts a lot on us. Like you said, the behind the scene type of people, and I learned a lot. I had a bunch of great coaches to learn under, and it's just been fun. So other than that, not much.
Being with him at practices and workouts, what are your initial impressions of Rasheed Rice?
He's doing great. The whole group's doing great. I like the whole, all 12 of them. I think we have 12. Yeah, all 12 of them. They've all been in, working. I have zero complaints. He's got some juice to him. He's a bigger body guy that we don't really have in our room. So he's a little different in that way. But he's been great. Been great in the classroom. Been great on the field.
How have you seen Sky maybe take the next step? Not like during his second season.
Sky's been great. Sky, you know, we put a lot on him last year. Usually when we get a receiver, we try to keep him at one position. And, you know, that's easier to learn that way. But we threw a lot at him last year. He played every position, all three of them, X, Zebra, and Z. But he's been great. He came back in great shape. He looks stronger. He's a little bigger. And then he just got that year under his belt. So he's not that little puppy dog anymore. He kind of understands what's going on, understands the tempo we practice at, and just how to be a pro. So he's been great.
What When it comes to Justin Ross, do you just get the sense that he has what it takes? It's just a matter of staying healthy and being on the field.
Yeah, Justin, another one. He worked hard last year. He was, you know, in every meeting and all the stuff that everyone else was at. So he kind of got a year under his belt also, just without the playing aspect of it. But he's been great. And, yeah, I'm excited for him to see him out on the field and see what he can do. He's another kind of different body. We don't have someone like him, so he's good.
What do you think expectations should be for him?
I think it's just like everyone else in the room. It's whatever you want it to be. It's up to them. We give them teach everyone the same way. Everyone, like I said, everyone's in the same meetings. So it's really up to him. He's got the talent. He's obviously in the NFL for a reason. So it's just like anyone else in the room. They got to go earn it. So.
Couple more.
Connor, you said that coach is really hard on quality control coaches. Can you explain just what was one of the hardest assignments that Andy gave you that helps you get a coach hard?
I don't know if it's just one in general. I don't know if I can just think of one specific moment, but it's just that's how he coaches on everyone, and that's why we are the way we are, and everyone in the building's that way. There's a standard. It's not just for the players, it's for the coaches too. And you learn that fast. You're either out or you're coming up to the standard. So but like I said, it's been great learning from obviously one of the greatest or the greatest coaches there's been in this league. So I always joke, I'm like, he's forgotten more football than I'll probably ever learn. So he's been a great mentor, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
I'll tell specifically about like each one of the guys you coach with. It's a varied group of guys you coach with, right? And obviously Andy Reid is top of the top.
Yeah.
What'd you take along the way from some of these guys at different levels?
I try to take some from everyone. I tell the receivers the same way. Like, when you're watching film, don't just watch the defense. Like, watch the other receivers. Like, see what they're doing. So I try to take whatever I can and still, you know, be myself. But I try to take whatever I can and you know, because I'm always learning. And that's one thing I learned from Coach Reid. He's in install meetings, and when someone's up there, he's taking notes. So if he's taking notes, I'm taking notes.
Last one, PJ.
How tough is it for, like, because, you know, it's kind of once you get into that Andy Reid circle, you're in it. Mm-hmm. How tough is it to reach up to his standard and to his level?
I just think it's hard to be in this league in general. I tell our guys all the time, you're one of 32. So there's only 31 other X receivers or Z receivers. So just that and you know, you got to, same with my job. There's 31 other receiver coaches out there. So there's a standard being in the NFL, and then there's a standard if you want to win Super Bowls and go to whatever, 5 consecutive AFC championships, NFC championships like he did. Like, there's a reason he's done it there, here, all over. So it's just, he's done it, so why not follow him?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Pacheco. I know that Pacheco's been out right now a lot rehabbing, but what you've seen so far?
It's a little similarity because you see them guys running so hard, and like when Pacheco came in and me being at training camp last year, I see a lot of similarities, running hard, running fast, running viciously or whatever. But so the similarity is definitely there.
Todd, what do you feel like Pacheco's missing by not being able to participate?
He's not missing anything. He comes to the meetings. He actually, if he's on the field not doing his rehab, he's actually getting a lot of mental reps, helping the young guys out, actually helping me out as well. So I don't think he's missing anything besides the physical part, because he's getting all the mental parts down pat.
Coach, you played for Coach Reid, correct?
Yes.
What's the experience been like now coming back as a coach and working under him?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I know what to expect from him as far as the ins and outs and what to do and what not to do. But it's fun being on this side of the ball now. And it's giving me the joy that when he gave me a call, you know, I was delighted to get an opportunity to come coach with him.
What's been the difference between playing for him and coaching for him?
Practice. I don't have to run around as much. So it's good. It's good. I can see from not being in the meeting as far as their staff as a player, but being in the meeting as a staff, as a coach now, see the ins and outs, what he looked for when we're watching film, and that also helps me out as far as like learning what to do and what not to do.
Very early. Has he changed much?
Yes, he's changed. No, I think he kept a steady flow with, as far as coaching styles and strategies or whatever. It's just the fact that I could see the difference in me playing for him and me coaching with him, or coaching for him right now. I could see the similarities as far as stuff we did back in the past.
Clyde seemed frustrated at the end of last year between the injuries and everything. What's his frame of mind been since you've come aboard?
It's been good. It's been good. When we had our Zoom meeting before we started our phase two, I had all the running backs to give me your goals going into the OTAs, and he wanted to be a lot more vocal. And he's been doing that, helping me out along the way, along with Coach Elliott, the running back coach, and helping the young guys out, or actually DP helping us out. And his mind frame is totally different. I told him, press the reset button and start from scratch, and we can go from there.
As a former NFL player, you can speak to this. How easy is that to press the reset button?
Yeah, it's very easy. All you got to do is just, press it in the brain or whatever. Okay, let me give me a fresh start or whatever. But Clyde's been great to us. And my room, in our room, and I think he's going to do well for us.
Did you envision, as a player with Coach Reed, did you guys ever have a conversation about one day wanting to coach?
He always asked me, because I'm always hitting him up every week when I left Philly or whatever, and it's always a good luck, coach, great job, coach, and coach, how's the family? So I'm always keeping in contact with him, and he always asked me, what am I doing? I'm always coaching somewhere, as for if it's a high school, college, and I guess he saw the vision that I have for myself, being a coach's son. I guess he saw it in me, so he gave me the opportunity to come be intern with him last OTAs and last training camp, and he saw something in me, I guess, to bring me aboard.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.